Welcome, this is William Evans and you're listening to Shifting Gears. Our guest today is Brooke LeVan. This is the third in a series of conversations about trust. Welcome, Brooke.
Hey, Will, good to be here.
You are the co-founder and the CEO of Sustainable Settings. What does CEO mean? That's new.
Well, CEO for me stands for Cosmic Engagement Officer.
Wow.
Well, I've had different titles and some given and some taken.
So I assume this is a self-conferred degree?
Well, yeah, it's kind of, I think we get pretty self-important sometimes and with titles. And so, you know, artist, farmer, alchemist, wizard, land priest, land whisperer. I've been called a bunch of things, but I think I like CEO right now anyway.
Yeah, well, if you don't say anything more, a lot of people can relate to you. The longer you talk, the less certain they might be.
Well, that's okay, because you shouldn't take my word for anything. You got to try it yourself.
Go ahead and
hello.
Tell me about the weather where you live.
The weather, the social weather, or the climate weather, or the my neighbor weather.
Well, you know, I'm. Got lots of time, so give me a full weather report.
Oh. Well, we're going to cut hay today.
Hmm? You're going to cut hay.
We're going to cut hay today.
First cutting?
Why don't we start, you know, there's kind of four levels to gauging things. So there's the physical, then there's the etheric, or the life level, and then there is the soul level, and then there's the spirit level. And so when you ask me the weather, I start with, well, I checked the weather report. I woke up this morning and looked out and saw what was going on. That's my weather report. But then I looked at what the weatherman said and got a physical sense of what's coming in, because I want to cut hay today. And so if we get it cut, given our current dry spell, or, you know, I think I can get the hay in before it starts, to 30% chance of rain come late Monday or Tuesday. Okay. So there's physical.
You can cut it and get it in?
Well.
That fast? Are you talking about in a week?
I'm talking about, no, if it's hot enough. Our last cutting, we cut and it dried out almost by the end of the day enough, because our windrows weren't too heavy. We had set the swather in such a way that it would dry quicker, but it was also very dry. This is end of June.
And you know the outcome when it's not dry.
Well, yeah. The hay, or what do you mean, the weather, or do you mean the hay, or both? I mean, if the hay's damp, you put it up, it'll mold. Is that where you're going?
Well, sometimes it gets even more exciting than that.
You mean spontaneous combustion?
Yeah. Well, yeah, on a cosmic level, you know.
Well, there's that. That's, now see, you're going to a different thing. I was trying to stay on the physical.
I'm just all over. It's just a mess trying to talk to me.
Well,
I might operate.
So people ask you a question and you go, okay. I mean, I was just brought into a consult up at Star Mesa, and they wanted me to assess these 2 acres. And the owner wants it brought into a pollinator bee habitat, and it has been kind of hayed, irrigated and hayed. But he wanted it to become more of a mountain meadow and place for pollinators, and leave it alone, maybe not cut it, and but managed. And so he asked, I'm putting together a multi-year stewardship strategy for that piece. And so I got there with the people that he's working with, or what do you call it, landscape architect types. And so I'm working with them, and so we could walk out to the field, and they asked me, you know, what I thought. I mean, first it's what kind of grass is this, and what kind of forb or broadleaf is that, and so I identified a few species, and then I said, well, I said, you know, I'm here for you, and you're paying for my time, so what do you want from me? I said, there's the physical, and I let him know there's these other levels, the physical, the etheric or the life level, and then there's the soul level and the spirit level of the land and us and everything. And so that wrinkled some brows. But I brought dowsing rods with me because I don't need them anymore, but I bring them more to so that people can, I teach people, and then they can make gauge things and see it.
And feel it.
And feel it, yeah. And it's not them. And, you know, it's really, we're conduits. But a lot of people don't know that.
Well, that's a wonderful way to help people connect with that dimension, because there's no doubt about it, when those rods move and you're holding them, that you're part of the continuum, right, part of the cosmic connection. But we're so, by and large, so disconnected that we doubt that.
Yeah, it's a way that I've been, it's like when people come to the ranch and they don't get quite what we're doing, I give them a dozen eggs if they're new with a warning. Because flavor, they're going to eat egg most likely than they've never had before. Or if they eat our meat, they've never had a bite of chicken that hasn't been industrially raised. And so there's a difference. And so same thing with this. And so the rods are a way, a portal kind of, or a door that helps people begin to understand that there is the seen, what science loves to work with, and pull out of context and study. It's called reductionism, right? And then there's also the unseen, things that, you know, the forces and spirits or of the land or the, of a, you know, the Greeks and the Romans called it genius loci, and that's the genius of place or the spirit of a place, and that's something that I'm trusting more and more and more. And you asked me to think about trust today at some point, and I don't know where, that was a pretty big open door, but, you know, I've come to trust the land, or I've come to trust nature, and I've come to trust what I can see and feel, but also the feel part, in other words, what comes through me as I've gotten more in relationship with the water and the land on the ranch and the animals and the life there, I've come to trust them, you know, like I trust a cow more than a corporation, if you know what I mean. So you walk into a grocery store, and in the 50s and 60s, we all were schooled to trust the government and to trust our grocers and our business people. And
better living through chemistry.
Well, there you go. And so things get in our way, and decision making kind of gets altered with ideas, greed or profit or other cutting corners. And so building trust happens for us on the ranch in our work. What we found out was when we got there, now we've only been there for 14 years, and when we first got there, we started changing the stewardship practices and our relationship to the place. And it took a few years to for nature or for the life there to trust us, because past stewards had taken advantage of them. And I'm talking about the microbes, fungi, and all the insects and all the plants and all the wild ones, all the winged ones, and all the four-leggeds. And so when we began to, you could say, ranch with love or ranch with affection for those things, and farm with affection.
And connection.
Well, there's the connection. There's the trust. The trust came back. You know, trust is, there's a benefit of the doubt. I first meet you, and I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I trust you're a human being, and so there's a certain amount of given trust.
And you're going to watch how I behave.
Well, yeah. And then given based on what we do with each other, we maintain a trust or build trust or we tear it down. And in the people side, we can talk all day long about that. But what's been interesting in our work in the last couple decades is that we're rebuilding our relationship with the land, with the life in the land. And there's a trust. Nature, and I say this with the interns and apprentices, but nature's always there and it's waiting for us to do the right thing. So we can rebuild our trust with it, even after we've poisoned it and bulldozed it and ignored its brilliance or its genius. So when we begin to respect its genius again, its elegance and its beauty, and we do it from our hearts and with affection for a place and for the life there, things click off and start to happen that we end up with a staff of trillions that we didn't have working with us or for us or with us before because they were hiding, they were resistant, they were scared because others had come across the land with big machines or overgrazed us with their cattle. You don't blame the cows for that. You blame the steward for that. And they had poisoned us. I'm speaking for the life. And so they retreat. They're there still. But when we begin to honor them, acknowledge them, and thank them, because we couldn't exist without them. We get all egocentric about who we are and how great we are and with our techno gizmos and all of our other things. But we're constantly running over the ones that really even allow us to be. And so once we honor that, respect them, and say, hi, thank you, or you're beautiful, and I recognize your part in my existence and in my life and in all the flows of life, and that gratitude is felt. And that's the spirit and that's the soul of a place and us participating on those levels. And when I rate a compost pile or a field or a crop or a handful of soil, I rate it in the physical, in the etheric, or in the life, in the soul, and in the spirit. And I do that with dowsing rods. And when we shift I'll do it with the apprentices or whoever's there, and we do it before we do work, before we do our acknowledging, before we do our gratitude. And then we get a scale. So we have the beginnings of the scale. 0 to 100, the current compost pile is at whatever, 27 at this level and 50 at that level, you know, and you write it down. And then we will kind of talk, and if you want to say, or dialogue or pray or whatever you want to call it, to our compost or to our crops or to work with our animals. And we, you know, sometimes you kind of seem silly, but you do it verbally at first and you try that. And then you do that work and you make a connection. You hold the compost in your hand, you grab some, and you do that work. And then you measure again. And you can measure the difference. And you've begun to establish or rebuild or increase your relationship with these things. And so that's some of the work we're doing right now.
This is William Evans. You're listening to Shifting Gears. We're in a conversation with Brooke Levan about his levels of connection and communication with the elements and soil at sustainable settings. You're listening to these elements as well as talking to them and praying with them.
Yeah, I mean, we got to be careful with metaphors. What's praying mean to me? What does it mean to you? What's meditation? What's, you know... I don't care what you call it.
Well, let's go back to to how I phrased it, when you're in communication, you're listening, but
I'm also giving.
You're talking. You're sending feelings, appreciation, gratitude. I'm interested in what are you hearing? Are you able to give us kind of an elemental energy, water, soil, wind report, and it may be manifested in what's happening with the crops, but I'm interested in any direct communication you're hearing from the elements over the course of your time at that ranch on Thompson Creek.
Well, absolutely, but it isn't just me, and it isn't me. So I want to be clear about that. It's anybody. Anybody can do it. And I'm not special. And that's what we begin to learn there is, first you got to take the leap and be silly enough to go out there and
talk to the land.
And talk to the land.
And listen.
And listen. And talk to the water and listen, you know. Talk to the life, you know, talk to everything. And you know what I mean by talking. And sometimes it's a verbal, like we're talking right now. And other times it's being still enough and projecting your appreciation, right? Going up and, you know, massaging that flowering plant that's beautiful and just, you know, pulling on its leaf or not yanking on it, but, you know, just feeling it and hold that flower and run it through your hands and say, you're beautiful.
So let me come at this from a different direction.
Okay.
You are thriving in this location. I mean, you've really built a level of reconnection that most people have forgotten and don't even know exists. What happens when you make a trip to New York City?
What happens when I go to town?
You're talking about Carbondale.
Oh, yeah.
Come in here into the production.
When I drive to the Front Range and drop over the lip and drop into the Denver.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit.
Well, I mean, we've developed a relationship that, and we still are, and we're active. It's a dynamic.
It's alive.
It's alive and dynamic and moving and shifting. And so we've done that, taken time. And we've had to mostly... It's us. We're holding it back. It's mostly been allowing ourselves to do it. And we've had some mentors like Enzo Nastati out of Italy. Our work through biodynamics with Rudolf Steiner's teachings or lectures. But really it's come about, you can read all day long and you can go to seminars or, you know, yoga retreats. But if you don't go home and practice, it's not doing any good.
It's in the action.
It's in our dialogue, and that's in the action between the life forces and genuine integrity and trust and all those levels and affection come into play. And so I think you're asking me about when I leave that bubble that we've created or that really strong relationship. You know, we talk... And the apprentices and the interns and staff, they talk about, I'm going out. You know, they're going out, meaning they're leaving the ranch.
I remember you telling me about your trip to Kansas to the Land Institute.
Well, there's that. But we talk about tethering. And when, like tomorrow, I'm going to go to the Front Range for 3 days on a consult on a ranch down there. And... Fort Collins area, and I'm packing a cooler with milk I know, water I know, some of our meat and eggs, you know, so that while I'm away, I can still on these different levels still be tethered to my home place. And that's kind of something we've lost track of, is that homeland or home place. Wes Jackson writes about it. He talks about that schools need to have a homeland major, Wendell Berry, you know, talks about it all hinges on affection. And he talks about how important place is for being a human being and our relationship to place. Both of them, to me, however, have flirted with this concept of affection. And it could be generational. It could be that maybe it's time to, in culture, in the frequency of culture right now, or in the dynamics of culture, to begin to be more open about these other levels. I'm trying to write something right now, and I don't know if it'll become a book or anything, but I'm writing about the experiences we've had on the ranch for the last, well, it's been 14 years. I mean, sustainable settings is 20 years old this year, but my relationship with this piece of ground is only 14 years old. And in that time, we've come to understand all these things. And so when we leave it and we go to, I come to town even, or I go even further and I go out, you know, I come to town, if I'm going to have a coffee, I try to bring my milk at least to have it steamed into my, you know, fancy latte or cappuccino or whatever. But when I go to the front range, like I'm going to do tomorrow, I leave a portal. I leave the safety, or I leave the deep relationships that I understand at the ranch with all of the life there. And I mean on those four levels: physical, etheric, soul, and spirit. And so when we venture out away from our home places, we either need to armor up, or we need to, you know, on these different levels, or we need to, you know, be ready to dance in a different dynamic. So for me, I feel a big, there are shifts along that route. Now, Glenwood Canyon, to me, is a big threshold. And every time I drive east or through it to the Front Range, I feel a different, there's a shift, and there's an intensity that happens on the other side that isn't on this side. And when I'm coming home, I can feel a relax or a relief when I go through that canyon, right? When I get on this side. I don't know if anybody feels that or not. I get that. And when I get into Vail and the passes and you know, you could call it the Continental Divide might be, you know, Vail Pass might be.
The descent from...
going back, really, you know, as water flows...
Down into Denver.
Whereas all water flows to the east or to the west, maybe there's somewhere that I feel a whole nother level.
Something else has descended on Denver.
Well, or I'm feeling the pressure or something, the vibration. Well, I don't know what you call that stuff, but I notice that. And then... when I get right there to Golden, that edge, and I drop down in, there's a whole other level of intensity there. And I don't think you have to be hypersensitive to catch that.
No, and if you do look up from watching the steering wheel on the road and the speedometer, you can see the air formation above Denver much of the year.
You mean the inversion?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so there's physical, but I'm talking about more than just, yes, smelling. I smell that. I don't know. My trip to China probably made me more sensitive to fumes. So it's physical, but it's also felt in other ways. And so you said New York City. I mean, I put my city on when I go to the city.
Is that some armor?
Yeah. I amp up. You know, we have folks that visit us for a while and they'll from New York, and then they'll go home and they'll call up and go, damn, I lived in New York all my life and I was with you guys too long and I let down my city, you know, and I got on the subway and they stole my purse. And that's never happened to me. And so it takes a lot of energy to be in that human environment, in that fast-paced, wild human dynamic. There's not a lot of nature.
You spend a lot of energy.
There's not a lot of nature
yourself.
There, right? Huh?
You spend a lot of energy protecting yourself.
Exactly. Right.
And that means also walling off your connection with those levels and elements.
Your gates come in. You know, your perceptual gates will tighten because it's survival. There's a different level, kind of survival mode. Survival and trust and survival and decision-making are interesting things. I mean, I know stewards in the valley that have a reputation of being good stewards.
Well, this is wonderful, Brooke. We're going to need to break here, and we'll pick it up and keep running with this. Thank you, Brooke.
Sure. It's great to be here.
This is Katie and Kay. You've been talking to Brooke LeVan. Explain what it means to be the cosmic
engagement officer
at the Sustainable Settings Ranch. Thank you for listening.